Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, three Metro Phoenix projects will add housing, retail to these areas. More student housing is coming to the East Valley, as well as a new Target and townhomes. A 479,388 square foot building will house nearly 800 students near Arizona State University in Tempe. It will also have space for ground floor retail. National retailer Target will anchor Phase 2 of Vineyard Town Center in Queen Creek. The center also includes Arizona's first Zaxby's. And a 38-unit townhome community is under construction in East Mesa. Here's what East Valley residents need to know about projects coming to your area. A 15-story, 240-unit student housing complex called Verve is being constructed on South Terrace Road and East Orange Street. The 479,388 square foot building offers 769 beds with a mix of studio, 1, 2, and 3, and 4 bedroom layouts. It also features a two-story gym, study rooms, rooftop pool and hot tub, golf simulator, lobby coffee bar, and more. The complex is expected to open in August 2026. Phase 2 of Queen Creek's Vineyard Town Center will be anchored by national retailer Target. Vineyard Town Center spans 23 acres and offers a mix of retail shops, services, and restaurants. Several other tenants, including Sprouts Farmers Market, the state's first Zaxby's, and Nectar Juice Bar, were already open. The 145,000 square foot Target was on track to open in October 2025, according to developer Vestar. Barcan Construction Group is building a 3- and 4-bedroom townhouse project called Power 38 along Power Road and University Drive. The project will have 38 units. Each unit will come with a car garage. The project was expected to be finished in 2025. With tenants moving in by early 2026. And that story was three Metro Phoenix projects will add housing retail to these areas. The next story, Pinal County supervisors to interview Santan Valley Council hopefuls. On Monday, the Pinal County Board of Supervisors will be interviewing 14 finalists for 7 positions on the inaugural Santan Valley Town Council. On Friday, the board announced the names of the 14 finalists who will be interviewed at a special session starting at 9:30 a.m. September 15 at the Pinal County Administrative Complex Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 135 North Pinal Street in Florence. The supervisors will vote on their 7 appointments at their regular meeting starting at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, September 17. Pinal County reported it received 86 applications, with 10 of the applicants not meeting the statutory requirements for a position and one who missed the filing deadline. On August 5, residents of a portion of unincorporated Santan Valley went to the polls to vote on creating the town of Santan Valley. The yes vote won by an about 2-to-1 margin. The successful incorporation drive started in 2023 and was spearheaded by Santan Valley, Inc. The new town of Santan Valley government will get up and running using $51 million in state shared revenue, with the county passing all responsibility for the area to the new town leaders on July 1, 2026. Past efforts to incorporate Santan Valley failed in 2004, 2010, and 2017. The finalists for the council range in residency from a year to more than 2 decades. They are retired or work in various sectors throughout the Southeast Valley. The following information about the finalists was taken from their applications and resumes filed with the county. Andrew Piaski, teacher, Queen Creek Unified School District. 8 years in Santan Valley. This is the community I live in. It's where I raise my children. It's the place where all the things most precious to me begin. I want this new town to thrive. I want citizens to feel safe, to feel that their town is in good hands and that their investments to live here are in good hands. We have an amazing opportunity in Santan Valley to give our citizens a brand new start with a world of possibilities. Brian Tyler, Utility Meter Specialist, Town of Queen Creek, member of Santan Valley, Inc., 17 years in Santan Valley. One of the most immediate and vital priorities for the inaugural council is hiring the right town manager, someone with proven experience in both leading and building municipal operations from the ground up. This role will be critical in shaping the administrative foundation and day-to-day functions of our new town government. Brian Hunt, Learning and Development Manager, Pinal County, 8 years in Santan Valley. The first council's role is about laying the groundwork, getting Santan Valley's government up and running responsibly, honoring existing commitment, and putting the systems in place that will allow the town to grow and thrive in the years to come. Calvin Cameron, Executive Director, Seed to Life International, 2 years in Santan Valley. One of the first priorities is establishing a well-defined, well-planned budget that prioritizes cost-effective measures and policies for law enforcement, fire protection, road and infrastructure improvements, cooperative partnership agreements with neighboring municipalities and governments, creating local gathering places like parks, trails, and retail spaces to include mixed-use commercial and residential districts and centers, better and more restaurant options, to name some items. Christopher Maddox, Director of Information Systems, East Valley Institute of Technology, 4 years in Santan Valley. The priority of the inaugural council will be to set up the foundational governance. This will include a town charter or core ordinances that define the new town government structures, powers, and responsibilities. The council must set up administrative systems for budgeting and record-keeping while defining key leadership roles such as city manager, clerk, and legal counsel. Daniel Oakes, owner and executive director, Arizona Family Institute, 21 years in Santan Valley. Economically, we should establish responsible fiscal practices, attract local businesses, and ensure thoughtful infrastructure planning that supports both current residents and future growth. Culturally, we need to foster a sense of belonging and civic pride by investing in community spaces, events, and traditions that bring people together. Socially, we must prioritize public safety, support for families, and accessible services that strengthen connection and trust among neighbors. Darren Schnepf, member, Pinal County Planning and Zoning Commission. 21 years in Santan Valley. Seeking and preparing intergovernmental agreements with Pinal County or others for the developmental services of road maintenance and projects, as well as safety in the form of police sheriff duties. Adopting the county's general plan as the town of Santan Valley's first general plan, and to seek out and retain legal counsel, a town manager and a clerk will be important areas to also address. Diane Combs, retired former admissions officer for Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Los Angeles, treasurer of Santan Valley, Inc., 4 years in Santan Valley. The council will need to staff a functional government, procure financial resources, fund contract local police, provide essential infrastructure, secure office space. Gia Jenkins, accounting supervisor, City of Maricopa, 5 years in Santan Valley. The first priority will be to hire a town manager and a town clerk. They will draft a proposal for the new town. It is important to get the city code and town goals set up with timelines in order to be successful when July 26, 2026 comes. It will be here quick. James Garrison, East Valley Operations Manager, Martin Marietta, 1 year in Santan Valley. The first priority would be to establish the financial structure and developing a budget to ensure security for the town's finances, followed closely with infrastructure planning and economic development that would form the groundwork for securing the potential investment of new businesses, and bring new jobs to the community. Larry Harmer, semi-retired municipal urban and regional planner and consultant. 3 years in Santan Valley. Most immediate priority, fill positions required by statute, establish a meaningful budget, develop a strategic plan for the future, appoint necessary commissions to advise the council. Lisa Boyer, retired, Wells Fargo Bank. 1 year in Santan Valley. Top priorities for the new council, establishing transparent and accountable local government, creating foundational policies and procedures for town operations, smart growth planning to avoid urban sprawl, water access and conservation, fiscal responsibility, finances, funding, and fair taxation. These are just a few, as this will be a huge body of work, and the first town council will set the tone for years to come. Rupert Wolfer, Program Specialist, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, 8 years in Santan Valley. Our families deserve access to well-maintained parks, youth programs, and community centers. Investing in recreation not only improves quality of life, but also strengthens community engagement and pride. These priorities are interconnected and will require strong leadership, transparent planning, and collaborative governance. I am ready to help lead that effort. Tyler Hudgens, Director of Young Adults, Ironwood Church, Mesa, Chairman of Santan Valley, Inc., 4 years in Santan Valley. In order to effectively serve town residents, it will be critical to secure state shared revenue dollars, establish effective governance structures such as filling required positions, e.g. town manager and town clerk, securing a location for town operations, developing policies and procedures necessary to ensure essential services run reliably ahead of county handoff on July 1, 2026. Further, the town should prioritize transparency by empowering residents through citizen committees, ensuring they have a real voice in shaping our future. Full applications and resumes for all the finalists are available at http://bit.ly/4n34WCE. The interviews on Monday and the selections on Wednesday will be live streamed. Links to the live streams can be found at http://bit.ly/4PLR6BB. That story was Pinal County Supervisors to Interview Santan Valley Council Hopefuls. The next story: Mesa approves deal to end 20-year eyesore on downtown Site 17. More than two decades after the city bulldozed about 60 houses to make way for an entertainment venue along University and Mesa Drives that never happened, the Mesa City Council approved a plan with cul-de-sac for a 25-acre lot to transform the area. It's a big moment for the council, which strived to build on a piece of prominent land north of downtown, once voted one of the valley's worst eyesores. On September 8, the council voted unanimously to approve the development agreement and ground lease, which lays the foundation for a future purchase agreement between the city and cul-de-sac. The plan was lauded by the council members and business owners in downtown Mesa. Supporters like the vision cul-de-sac will bring to the area. The plan received two comments in opposition at the meeting. Armando Hernandez, who owns three businesses in downtown Mesa, including popular dining spots such as Espiritu and Tacos Chivas, attended Monday's meeting to voice his support of the project. He opened up Tacos Chivas in 2020 because he saw the potential and blank slate downtown Mesa offered. Over the past 5 years, he said, the district has seen positive momentum. Hernandez told the Arizona Republic he is excited for the density and residents cul-de-sac plans to bring to downtown Mesa because business owners are starving for nearby residents. This past summer was a hard one for downtown business because the area has been so reliant on tourism, he said. If you can live off like the people in your community around you, that's where you really thrive, he said. Hernandez also owns another restaurant at the Tempe cul-de-sac project and is familiar with the developer's work. Cul-de-sac's plan for Site 17 includes 1,000 townhomes and apartments plus ample commercial space in a project that would promote walkability and discourage car use. Planned to be developed in three separate phases, the first phase will buffer the mid-rise apartment units with the historic Wilbur neighborhood to the south. It's expected to be built in three phases, with Phase 1 commencing no later than 2027 and full build-out by 2034. The first phase will bring 140 for-sale townhomes, the first for-sale product in downtown Mesa since 1986, according to the city. Additional phases will bring up to 50,000 square feet of commercial and retail space and another 25,000 to 50,000 square feet of residential amenity space. Cul-de-sac is also leaving the door open for future student housing with Arizona State University. The city's deal proposes a 50-year ground lease for the entire 25 acres, charging Cul-de-sac $15,000 of flat rent before construction starts and then $5,000 once construction starts. The rent would go to the market rate price if Cul-de-sac fails to start construction within 24 months. Ryan Johnson, co-founder and CEO of Cul-de-sac, told the Republic this project builds on the momentum that's already making downtown Mesa a special place. This project shows what's possible when we prioritize a culture of belonging, transportation, freedom, and thriving local businesses, he said. He said the project won't be a clone of the Tempe location, but will have similar elements with a uniquely Mesa vision. The project was unanimously approved with all the council members celebrating the pivotal deal. Mayor Mark Freeman said he was supportive of the project because it would increase the use of the light rail by car-free residents. Vice Mayor Scott Summers said the city made a bad decision over 20 years ago, and since then Site 17 has been an eyesore. Councilmember Jen Duff, who ran for council with the hope of signing a deal for Site 17, was overjoyed at the council meeting. She stated Cul-de-sac's vision added synergy and life to the downtown and that it would be another catalyst for development. Duff welcomed the car light walkable vision that Cul-de-sac plans to bring to Site 17. We don't need thousands of cars down here. We need thousands of people. And that story was Mesa approves deal to end 20-year eyesore on downtown Site 17. You're listening to East Valley News, covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, new construction easement sought for Apache Trail east of Apache Junction. Establishing a new temporary construction easement right-of-way for work on Apache Trail from Sossaman Road in Mesa to just east of Meridian Drive in Apache Junction will be considered by the State Transportation Board at a meeting Friday. Temporary construction easements outside the existing right-of-way are needed to be utilized for driveway improvements necessary to enhance convenience and safety for the traveling public, it states in a resolution of establishment. Accordingly, it is now necessary to acquire and establish the temporary construction easement right-of-way needed. The board meets at 9 a.m. September 19 by phone and WebEx. Members of the public who want to observe or participate in the Transportation Board meeting can attend virtually by accessing the meeting using the WebEx meeting link at www.aztransportationboard.gov. Join the meeting as a participant and follow the instruction to use your telephone to enable audio. For members of the public attending via WebEx, you can log into the meeting place beginning at 8 a.m., it states on the meeting agenda. That story was new construction easement sought for Apache Trail east of Apache Junction. The next story, you never think it is going to be you. Mesa woman's ex-boyfriend indicted in her stabbing. Tyler Andrew Riddle dripped with charisma and smarts. Towering nearly a foot over Erin Hume, he had her in love shortly after they met in late 2024. The relationship between Riddle and Hume quickly turned rocky. Shortly after midnight on August 22, Riddle is accused of climbing through the bedroom window of her West Mesa home with a 5-inch steak knife and, according to Hume, stabbed her 22 times. Riddle, 33, was indicted on September 3 on suspicion of attempted second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and assault, according to court documents. Recovering from her injuries in a hospital, Hume, 36, spoke with the Arizona Republic about how she found herself caught in what she described as a toxic relationship that nearly cost her life. "The hold that he had on me was just really strong, and I don't understand it," Hume said. Hume and Riddle met at an outpatient facility while she was still grieving her fiancé, who was the father of the youngest of her two sons. Years after he had gotten sober, her longtime partner had died from a fentanyl overdose. After kicking heroin several years earlier, Hume began abusing other substances, including alcohol, following her fiancé's death. She said Riddle later introduced her to psychedelics and, according to her, became verbally abusive. In early July, Hume entered rehab. After returning home, she said she broke off her relationship with Riddle, but he kept coming back. "I was trying to get him out of my life, and he just wouldn't go," Hume said. "The night Riddle is accused of trying to kill Hume began normally," she said. "He was supposed to pick up some belongings from her home and finally leave her life, but as she drove him there, he became hostile. So Hume dropped him off at a busy intersection in West Mesa. What came next has been pieced together from what she said authorities told her. Riddle is accused of arriving at her home, entering, and then punching her sons, ages 7 and 12, in the face. According to court documents, he was also indicted on 2 counts of child abuse in connection with the incident. "My kids are strong and brave," she said, noting how her oldest called 911. "If he didn't, I would not be here." Hume's father, Donald Hume, set up a GoFundMe to help cover medical expenses for her injuries, which she said included a punctured liver, a punctured diaphragm, a collapsed lung, and 2 wounds in the back of her neck. He also said her throat had been nearly slashed from ear to ear. "It didn't penetrate far enough, thank God, or she would have bled out and died," Donald Hume said. Reflecting on her time with Riddle, Erin Hume said, "Her family and friends repeatedly warned her about him. Her mother even told her she would end up a murder victim, featured on the true crime cable channel Investigation Discovery. Look at the red flags, because if you don't and you ignore them, this is what happens," Erin Hume said. "You never think it is going to be you until it's you." As of September 5, Riddle was being held at a Maricopa County jail on a $250,300 bond, according to jail records. Court documents did not list a specific attorney for him. Now, Erin Hume says, she feels a sense of freedom. "It feels really good to not have to talk to him or answer his phone calls," she said of Riddle. After this near-death experience, Erin Hume is trying to come to terms with how she ever let herself get to this point. Through tears, she said she felt she was searching for someone to fill the void left by her late fiancé. In a moment of clarity, she said of the man she loved and lost, "He's still supporting me in some way because I'm still here." That story was "You Never Think It's Going to Be You," Mesa woman's ex-boyfriend, indicted in her stabbing. The next story, $670,000 architecture contract for Apache Junction's South City Campus before Council Tuesday. The Apache Junction City Council will vote Tuesday to pay more than $670,000 to create a 22-acre master plan for a library, police substation, maintenance yard, and a park in the southern area of the city. Council meets at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 16, in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard, to in part vote on awarding a contract to Arrington Watkins Architects, LLC, in an amount of $645,446, plus a contingency of $25,000 for a total not to exceed $670,446. The contract, master plans, and programs the city campus south at Ironwood and Horton Drives, which is south of Elliott Drive, Capital Improvement Program Manager Trina Harrison told the council September 2. The complex will include a library branch, a police substation, a park with a lake, and a maintenance yard that is shared by Public Works and Parks, she said. "With the growth of our city, these services are now needed in South Apache Junction. A request for qualifications solicitation was released April 9 and was closed May 21. 5 responses were reviewed by 7 city employees and 3 firms were selected to be interviewed, she said. Arrington Watkins Architects LLC was the highest ranked firm, she said. The master plan and programming project should be completed by March 2026, Harrison said. The project is planned and funded in the city's budget, City Manager Bryant Powell said. This is super huge, guys, he said. This is really awesome, and I'm so excited to be at this point as city manager and working with staff and all of our departments who are very excited to provide these services to the South. That story was $670,000 architecture contract for Apache Junction's South City campus before council Tuesday. The next story, physical exam agreement before Superstition Fire and Medical District Wednesday. A total of 108 firefighters at the Superstition Fire and Medical District will soon be having their annual physical examinations. The SFMD Board of Directors at a meeting Wednesday, September 17, is to vote on a LifeScan wellness scheduling and testing agreement that explains when and where the exams will occur. Physicals are to cost $720 and on-site blood draws are $29, it states in the agreement. As part of our ongoing commitment to health, safety, and operational excellence, all firefighters are required to complete an annual physical examination. These evaluations are designed to ensure that each member is physically capable of performing the demanding tasks associated with fire and rescue operations, Administrative Services Director Anna Boutel said in a memo to the board. Physicals will be held at Fire Station Number 264, 7557 U.S. Highway 60 in Gold Canyon, it states in the agreement. Requirement for physicals: 3 private rooms, 10 by 10 is sufficient. 1 room needs to have a treadmill with at least a 15% incline. Each room should have a trash can and a small table and 2 chairs, if possible, it states. The blood draws will be at SFMD Regional Training Center, 3700 East 16th Avenue in Apache Junction, it states in the agreement. Members who do not participate in the on-site blood draws will need to bring their script to a local lab corp for accurate results. Blood draws need to be performed between 45 days and 10 days prior to scheduled physicals, it states. The district, which is primarily funded by property taxes, provides fire suppression, fire prevention, wildland protection, advanced life support, rescue extrication, and medical transportation services out of the 5 fire stations in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. SFMD board meetings are generally held at 5:30 p.m., the third Wednesday of the month, at the SFMD Administrative Office, 565 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. Agendas are at https://sfmd.az.gov/. And that story was physical exam agreement before Superstition Fire and Medical District Wednesday. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.